When I came into the chapel early this morning, I had in my mind that today's readings have a Eucharistic theme. The first reading is about the children of Israel crying out for food, not for the first time. And then the gospel, a well-known story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with five loaves. So very Eucharistic. And coming off of yesterday's readings, which were even more Eucharistic, I thought, well, that's naturally going to be the theme we ponder today. Yesterday, Jesus revealed himself as the bread of life. But it was nowhere in my mind that today is the feast of St. Peter Julian Aimard. I don't know how I missed that. It's right here in the Annum Way. I suppose my calendar is still on July, so I didn't look at the August calendar. Here he is, August 2, Peter Julian Aimard, who is the apostle of the Eucharist. Not only is he the apostle of the Eucharist, and I don't know when his name got put on the calendar, because in the Liturgy of the Hours book, he wasn't there, and in this Roman Missal, printed maybe 10 years ago, he's here. So sometime in the last 20 years or so, perhaps he was put on the calendar. But he's not only apostle of the Eucharist for the Universal Church, he has a special place in the roots of the Anuim community. St. Peter Julian was, shortly after he was ordained a priest, he joined the Marists, which is the community that our founder, Father Francis, belonged to, the Marist Fathers. And it was while he was a Marist that St. Peter Julian drew ever more, was more and more attracted to, not only to the Eucharist, but to promoting Eucharistic devotion. And he was inspired to found a new congregation, that is the Blessed Sacrament Fathers. In fact, he founded two congregations, the Blessed Sacrament Fathers and the Servants of the Blessed Sacrament, the very community that Sister Barbara and Sister Carol used to belong to. And here Sister Barbara's remains at the foot of the tabernacle, just like the Servants of the Blessed Sacrament are in their Eucharistic devotion. So St. Peter Julian went from the Marists to the Blessed Sacrament Fathers, from Mary to Jesus. His journey is the journey of everyone who comes to know Mary. Mary always leads us to Jesus. To Jesus through Mary is the motto of St. Louis de Montfort. So St. Peter Julian is a spiritual father of the Anuim community and of the Anuim spirituality, Marian and Eucharistic. Well, let's reflect a little bit on these readings. And with the help of St. Peter Julian, perhaps what I was burdened with as I came into the chapel was, okay, it's a Eucharistic theme. Yesterday's Eucharistic, today's Eucharistic, but no one can go to Mass. How can I be promoting the Eucharist when there's nobody at the Mass? Or the people who attend the Mass are all attending online. It's almost cruel to say to people who are used to coming to daily Mass to tell them watching online, oh, Eucharist, Eucharist, Eucharist. It's almost like telling a starving person, look, I have food and you don't. That's what I had in my mind. Because of the lockdown, all public Masses have been suspended again. So people who are used to living on the Eucharist every day are being forced to fast. I know people can make spiritual communions and that's important, but it's not the same. So let's ask St. Peter Julian to help us deepen our appreciation of the Eucharist and our hunger for this bread of life. Let's look at these readings. The first reading has always struck me as comical. it wasn't comical in the experience of the Israelites. They were lamenting. They were actually grumbling again. The reason why it sounds comical is because here they are. They have been miraculously rescued from slavery in Egypt. They've been brought through the Red Sea by an extraordinary miracle. All their enemies have been wiped out. They're in the desert. When they were hungry, the Lord fed them with manna. In fact, every single day, they have manna to eat. Every single day. On the seventh day, they have enough. They can gather enough for, or on the sixth day, they have enough to gather for the 7 days. They don't even have to work on the Sabbath to eat the manna. They have enough for 2 days. So here they are complaining, and listen to their complaint. They want meat. They want fish. They want cucumbers. They want melons. They want leeks. They want onions, and they want garlic. I love that. It's like a menu. And then they say, that's what we used to have in Egypt, but now we are famished. Famished meaning starving. We see nothing before us but this manna. In other words, they're not famished. They have manna. They're not starving. They have food to eat every day, food from heaven. They're not famished. What they are is longing for something else. And so it is funny. I mean, when they were in Egypt, their focus was not on cucumbers and melons and garlic. Their focus was on, we're suffering in slavery here. Where is the Lord? So the Lord provides freedom, and the cost of freedom is to give up a few melons and cucumbers, and now they're complaining about it. So that's why I think, and I think it's deliberately made humorous so that we can see not only the Israelites, we can see our own nature. Human nature is once again very clearly on display here. When we look back, we can get nostalgic. We think about what we used to have, and we translate or distort, I should say. We distort our memory to think of all the good things and forget what we were really focused on back then. We weren't focused on all those good things. In fact, we weren't satisfied by them back then. Now that we don't have them, we think that's what we need. That's human nature, very well described. If we had the truth clearly in mind, we would not be grumbling and complaining and lamenting. We would be so grateful all the time for what God has done and what God is doing. That's the truth. Yes, we had sufferings back then. God was with us. God provided for us. Yes, we have sufferings now. Look, we're in the middle of a lockdown. Yeah, we are suffering now. People are getting this virus everywhere. It's spreading like wildfire. No one seems to know how to put out the fire. So everything is shut down again. Yeah, that is a terrible experience. But it doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. He's not feeding us. He's not providing for us. God does not give us what we are craving. He gives us what we need. That's what this first reading tells us. These people are craving cucumbers and melons and garlic. Well, sure. Well, in our time, we're craving to be free from this virus. And God has not provided that for us yet. But He provides what we need. This is what we have to open our eyes to. He provides the bread of life. He provides the manna. Okay, so that's what we see in the first reading. Not that God is being cruel to his people, but that the people, in their ingratitude and their complaining, are missing the gift. So that's when we're complaining, and I do a lot of complaining about this pandemic, when we're complaining, we're missing the gift. That's what I think we can learn from today's first reading. Now, in the gospel, Jesus hears of the death of John the Baptist, a very heavy announcement, news, very heavy news. I'm sure he was grieving at this. Not that he was taken by surprise. He knew the mission of John. He knows his own mission. He knows John is a forerunner, goes ahead of him, and he knows that the fate of John is also his own fate. So it's not as if he's taken by surprise, but the death of a loved one, the death of a relative, a cousin, has to be a heavy thing to take in. And so Jesus withdraws in a boat to a deserted place by himself. That's what anyone might do at a time of grief. Take a little time aside. It doesn't work. The crowds get there ahead of him, a vast crowd. And Jesus is forced to make a shift from focusing on his own loss, his own grief, to the needs of the people. And he does it. He doesn't complain. He doesn't say, oh, I wish I was in a deserted place. I wish these people weren't around. I wish I could deal with my own problems. No, he is moved with pity for the crowd. This is a reminder to us that when we are facing our own struggles and sorrows, sometimes what God puts into our life is the presence of people who have it worse than we do, so that we're given an opportunity to get out of ourselves. Now, Jesus was not sunk into self-pity or any kind of sinful, morose attitude. He was simply taking a time of grief and prayer. But what we do when we're burdened, we tend to get self-pitying and judgmental and complaining. And then God, in order to save us from ourselves, puts right in our face someone who really has it worse than we do. And it doesn't take much for us to look around and see there are a lot of people suffering more than we are, so that we will be moved to care for them, at least to pray for them, if not to take care of their practical needs, hopefully both. Jesus then provides them with an abundance of food, multiplies the 5 loaves so that they have more than enough to eat and 12 baskets left over. We know that story. What we can take from this in our current situation is everybody's focused on Delta variant multiplying. It multiplies by the thousands, they say. It spreads all over the place. They're saying it's probably everywhere already. Fine. This gospel tells us that Jesus multiplies what we need to live on. Jesus multiplies the loaves more than the Delta variant virus multiplies in the world. So our focus should not simply be on the virus. Our focus should be on Jesus Christ, bread of life, source of life, source of abundant life, source of all we need, not of all we crave. So St. Peter Julian, who points us toward the mystery of the Eucharist, toward the great gift, the inestimable gift, the priceless gift of the Eucharist, is also pointing us away from focus on ourselves and on all our problems. We have to take into account that, yes, we're in a pandemic, we're in a lockdown, but that's not the reason why we're here. That's not the purpose of our life. We're here for Jesus Christ. We're here to live in him and to receive life from him and to share his life with one another. So as we gain the benefit of St. Peter Julian's intercession and witness, and as we ponder this word, let us be filled with the gift of life that comes from the bread of life. And even those who can't receive Holy Communion today or this week or maybe in the next month, people will not be able to receive Holy Communion. They can still draw life from Jesus Christ, the bread of life. the source of life. We invite him into our hearts, into our lives. We give thanks for this gift of himself to us.